morning. Today's daf in Bechoros Mem Zayin. We're on Mem Vav Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We are starting with the words Amr Shlomo Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. We're talking about birth and the definition of birth. Throughout Shas, the definition of birth is the emergence of the forehead. The crowning of the head as it comes out, as it emerges from the mother. Specifically, the padachas. The forehead needs to come out. The Gemara elsewhere says rov padachas. They don't even need the entire forehead, just the majority of the forehead to come out. And that's the definition of birth, and that's been the definition of birth throughout. Masechet Chulin, that was the definition of birth, and as was in the Masechet Nida as well. Over here in Bechoros, so nothing changes. Our definition of birth is going to remain the same. It's comforting to know. But there is a Chiddush of Shmuel that we entertained for a little bit yesterday. Shmuel says that if Rachmanis, if God forbid, the baby comes out as a stillborn, so then birth is not going to be defined by padachas, but rather you need the majority of the baby to emerge. And so what distinction can we make between a live birth and a stillbirth? So he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, Kol asher nishmas ruach chaim ba'apav. So kol heichad nishmas ruach chaim ba'apav, as long as there's breath coming out of his mouth, hu dechashav reishit, that's considered the head of the baby. And so the Gemara entertained this idea, but the Gemara ends up rejecting this distinction. Our Mishnah does not seem to support this idea. Our Mishnah seems to reject Shmuel, and that's where we ended off with yesterday. The Gemara continues now. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Mem Vav Amud Beis, just before we start with the Gemara. So we are in the eighth parak of the Masechta. We just started yesterday. Eighth parak of Masechta talks about the birth of a firstborn as it relates to a human. And we are discussing the halachas of Pidgin HaBen and Nachla, both in terms of the halachas of redeeming your firstborn, because the Torah requires you to do so, and Nachla. And also, your firstborn is going to be receiving Pishnaim, is going to be receiving a double portion. And so these two halachas that apply to a Bechor, so they are not driven by the same car, so to say. When it comes to the Bechor, as far as Pidgin HaBen is concerned, so that's Petarechem. So it has to be her firstborn. It has to be the first one that emerges out of her. And if there is something that comes out of her prior to that, even if it's not a living, even if it's not a viable baby, but nevertheless, the next one that comes out is not going to be a bechor as far as Peter Rechem is concerned, because it's not the first one that came out of her. Vis-a-vis Nachla, that's all contingent on the father. The Torah says regarding the mitzvah of Nachla, the mitzvah of Nachla is found in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitse. The Torah says, Rashis Ono, it has to be his first issue. And so therefore, the halacha of receiving the Nachla is going to be contingent on his being firstborn. And what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah are many different scenarios in which you can have being a Bechor LaNachla and not a Bechor for Pidgin HaBen. Conversely, there are many scenarios where you could be a Bechor for Pidgin HaBen, but not a Bechor LaNachla. And then there are going to be circumstances where you're both, which of course is a classic circumstance where it's his first marriage, her first marriage, it's their first baby. So then of course it would be both, Pidgin HaBen and Bechor LaNachla. And then there are circumstances where there's going to be neither, and that's going to be explored later on. Okay, that's just a nice way of framing our entire discussion, and let's begin. In terms of the definition of the birth, padacha, so it's the forehead, the crowning of the baby, as the head of the baby, as the forehead of the baby emerges from the mother, so that in halacha is going to be defined as the birth in all areas of halacha, chutz min anachla, with exception to nachla. Nachla, so birth is going to be defined by not the emergence of the forehead, but you need more of the baby to come out. How much more of the baby to come out? We'll see in just a moment. So my time, yakir amar rachmana. So according to Reish Lakish, when the Torah gives us a halacha in the mitzvah of Nachla, the Torah says, Yakir, there has to be recognition. And so by just looking at the forehead, there's not enough recognition, and so therefore you need to have recognition. So presumably, if it's based on recognition, so you need to see the face. So that means to say that you have to have the entire head coming out to be defined as birth as it relates to Nachla. Now Rav Yochanan says, no. There is simply one definition of birth, and it applies in every halacha. Rav Yochanan afilo Nachla b'chol makom. I'm sorry, afilo Nachla, period. And Rav Yochanan says, no, even as it relates to Nachla, so that and only that is going to be the definition of birth, l'gabi every halacha, including that of Nachla. Now, Reish Lakish made a very big statement, even though he made an exception to the rule, but he made a very big statement. Reish Lakish said, padachas poteres bichol makom. Padachas is always going to be the definition of birth, always. Again, always meaning with the exception. But still, bichol makom lasuyeh mai. So the Gemara says it comes to include the following scenario. So let's say you have a woman who's converting, and she is now converting, and she's also really late into her pregnancy. And when I say really late into her pregnancy, I'm going really, really late into her pregnancy. In fact, the baby starts to emerge. Now, admittedly, by the way, I think we can all agree, maybe now is not the best time for the conversion, meaning maybe a little bit before, a little bit afterwards. Okay, the Gemara over here is not giving us a case because this actually occurred. It's obviously there to present a halacha, just there to illustrate the halacha. So, Giyarshi Yatsa Padachas, Vlad Dabiyos and Achris. So, the crown came out while she was a non-Jew. V'acharkach Nizgaira. And after the crown came out, let's say the crown went back, the baby went back inside of her, and now quickly she goes into the mikveh and she now converts. Ein nos nila yemei tuma v'yemei tahara. So now, is she going to have tumas leida? Every time a woman gives birth, so she's subject to tumas leida. She is now having to go through the procedure of counting out the days of the tuma for giving birth for a male. 7 days of Tumah, 33 days of Yemei Tahara. For a female, double those numbers. But anyway, every time a woman gives birth, she is Tumei Aleida. But of course, Tumah only applies to a Jew, not to a non-Jew. So over here, she becomes a Jew. So is she going to have Tumas Leida? Well, the crown already emerged, so vis-a-vis Halacha, as far as Halacha is concerned, the baby's been born. The baby has not yet emerged. The baby came back in. The she tovel before the baby has actually emerged, but doesn't matter. Once the crown has come out, she is considered she's given birth prior to her conversion, and therefore there's no tumas leida. So ve'ena mevia karban, ve'eno mevia is karban leida, and she doesn't give the karbanas. Fine, it's just another example, simple illustration. I say simple, it's not so simple, but it's a simple illustration of this idea that when it comes to the emergence of the padachas, the head, the crowning of the head, so that is considered birth in every area of halacha, even tumas leida. But again, with Reish Lakish, with one notable exception, and that is B'chol Anachla. For B'chol Anachla, the Torah says the words Yakir, you have to have recognition, and therefore you need to see the face. The Gemara challenges.
The boy, right? Huh? The boy is not Jewish.
The boy is not Jewish.
No.
Interesting. Probably, no. Right, I would agree with you. Meizveh, the Gemara challenges, based on the following brisa, Yakir Zu Akaris Panim. Veizu Akaris Panim, Pirts of Panim. Im Hachotam. So here the brisa talks about the definition of Hakara. The Torah says that you have to be able to recognize a child. And so what is recognition? So it's pirts of panim im hachotam. So you need to see the face. You need to see the face, including the nose. Right? The nose is the most pronounced portion of our face, for good and for bad. And so so it sounds pretty clear from the Braisa, like Reish Lakish, that there needs to be a seeing of the face. So the Gemara says, Tani ad hachotam. So the Gemara says, okay, what we could do is we could tweak the Braisa a little bit. It says, even though the Braisa says im hachotam, the preposition being with, but it could be ad hachotam, up until the nose. Tashma, in ma'idim el appears upon him im hachotam. So as far as Edus is concerned, as far as testifying is concerned, you want to be able to see a face. Now, this is not a halacha as it relates to our discussion over here. This is the Gemara in Yevamos, and this is talking about facial recognition as it relates to somebody who died. Somebody's dead, and now you want to report to his wife that her husband, Rachman, has died. And this is important information. Obviously, it's critical information. It allows her to remarry. And so, what do you have to see? So, the Mishnah in Yevamos tells us that you mustn't see the face. And not just the face, but specifically with the feature of the nose. Again, nose is one of the more recognizable portions of the face. So once again, sounds like that in order for Hakara, there needs to be a seeing of the face. So Tani ad hachotam. So again, the Gemara says, well, what we could do is we can interpret the Mishnah and the Mean over there that you don't have to see the actual nose, but up until the nose. Meaning a forehead would be enough. Tashma padachas below pirts upon him below padachas, in me'idim achiev shneim im hachotam. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have a brisa over there in Yevamos that there's no way to reinterpret the brisa. The brisa says that if you're going to give testimony about a person who you saw was dead and you're going back now to the widow in order to report to the widow that you are in fact a widow and your husband actually died, so you need to see actual face. You need to see the entirety of the face, every feature, and together with the nose. V'amra bai v'itemer afkana maikra hakaras paneim antabi. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that you have to be able to see the face. Okay, so it seems very clear that in order for there to be Hakara, to be recognition, so you have to see the entirety of the face. So now, this is a great support for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that when you have a firstborn, so in every other area of halacha, birth is defined by the crowning, just simply by the forehead emerging from the mother. That's birth in every other halacha. But as it relates to the Bechor Lanachla, the Torah says Yakir. You need to have recognition. And now as we look at the halachas regarding Yevamos, and in order to give successful testimony that the husband died, so you must see and testify that you saw the entire face. So this is a strong support for Reish Lakish. So the Gemara is going to give a couple of explanations. Shani Eidus Isha Da'achmira Be'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, first of all, we are comparing the halachas of testifying about the death of a husband versus our discussion over here about the head of the baby emerging. And the Gemara says, and the two halachas may not go hand in hand. In fact, what we could argue, the Gemara is going to give two arguments. This is the first one. We're going to argue now that as far as the halachas of Eidus Isha, testimony for the woman, for the widow, that she is in fact a widow, so we're more machmir. And therefore, we need to see more of the face. The Gemara says, we're more machmir. What do you mean, we're more machmir? We're more makel. Umi achmiru v'hatanan. Echzik olios misim eid mipi eid, mipi isha, mipi evan, mipi shivcha. So the Gemara says, you know that the biggest kulas out there in halacha exist regarding Eidus Isha. In terms of Eidus Isha, so what normally is acceptable for testimony? Testimony has to be given by two kosher witnesses, they have to be male. Because men and not women are acceptable in order to, in terms of giving Eidus. However, when it comes to Eidus Isha, you can have Eid Mipi Eid, you can have hearsay, you can have a woman giving testimony, you can have a Shifcha giving testimony, and have a Kenani giving testimony. So people who normally are unacceptable for Eidus, so they can testify. So the biggest coolest of Eidus exists as it relates to Eidus Isha. And you're telling me that we're going to be more machmer by Eidus Isha? Gemara says, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, yeah, I do understand. I'll explain it to you. Kia kila rabbanan b'sofa b'tchilas ala kila rabbanan. So the Gemara says like this. In terms of identification of the person, we're going to be more machmer. We're going to be more machmer over there because, again, what we're now reporting to this wife is that your husband, in fact, is dead, and now you can go ahead and get remarried. Now, if the information that's given to her is not good information, it's a disaster. The Gemara Yevamos discusses this in great detail. Her late husband's going to come back because the rumors of his death were highly exaggerated. So he's going to come back. She's married to another man, and it's niyuf, and it's adultery, and, you know, obviously unintentional. And the children are mamzerim, and it's a disaster. So just give me one moment. So it's going to be a disaster. So for purposes of identification, the chachamim were very machmir, meaning you want to now report that he's dead. You have to see his face, his entire face. Period. Now, once you have that information, now getting that information back to the widow. So for that, the chachamim were extraordinarily makel. So in terms of what gets it back, so it could be Eid Mipi Eid, it could be Eid Asisha, in other words, so we don't need the normal reporters, but in terms of what you saw, so that has to be extraordinarily clear. So the Gemara says, so vis-a-vis Eid Asisha, there is a more of a chomer regarding identification, as opposed to the baby emerging, so there for Hakara, you don't need that much, you just simply need to see the forehead. Yes?
What would have been the Havaruda? I saw a mangled face, and therefore
okay. I saw a portion of a face. I think it was your husband. I thought so. Okay, so I was wrong. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Vi by Seima. Gemara gives a second solution to defend Rav Yochanan, as we are now in the top of Mem Zayinim and Aleph. Yakir Lachud Vakaris Banim Lachud. Again, it's a similar idea. Look, when the Torah gives us this requirement of Hakara as it relates to the firstborn, the Torah simply says the word Yakir. Yakir means that there has to be some general recognition. Okay, general recognition. I saw the forehead come out. Now, I'm admitting, by the way, if I just saw a forehead of an infant, if I saw the whole face of an infant, there's no way I'd be able to identify one over the other. But okay. But in other words, but if I saw a forehead of an infant, so fine. So me myself, I don't know how much I can, you know, actually testify. But the idea is that for the birth of the firstborn, the Torah just simply says Yakir. Yakir means general recognition. Mashenkin, as it relates to Eidus Isha, so you need a Karas Panim, meaning we need positive identification that this is in fact the husband of that woman. So for there, you need to see the entire face. It's a similar idea that the two cases are not comparable with one another, and they don't necessarily need to compare. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So again, machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. When defining birth, what exactly is what qualifies as birth? So the emergence of the forehead. And as far as every halacha is concerned, there's no disagreement. Everyone agrees. Forehead coming out, that's birth. Where they disagree is in the halacha of Bechor L'Nachla, the firstborn for Nachla. So what exactly is the definition of birth? So it is either going to be the same, the padachas, the forehead coming out, or Reish Lakish's position that you need to have the whole face come out because you need hakaras panim, you need to see the face. And the Gemara both defended and attacked the positions of each of the machloksim. Let's continue. We are in the Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph Itmar. Hayilo banim beYosef v'kolcham nizgayer. Gemara over here is going to deal with some basic questions. Let's say you have a guy and he's had his children previously and he converts. So and now he has his firstborn child as a Jew, but it's not his firstborn child. He's had other children. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Lo B'Chol Anachla. So now this his firstborn. Now I'm putting it in quotes. His firstborn now, is that going to be his firstborn in terms of Nachla? So Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's not. In other words, because it's not his firstborn. And Reish Lakish Omer Yesh Lo B'Chor L'Nachla. And Reish Lakish says, no, that firstborn that he has is in fact going to be his firstborn. He's got other children. He's got children before he converted. Okay, good. Mazel tov. Or congratulations, right? He wasn't a Jew yet. But in other words, but now he's getting a mazel tov because this is his firstborn as a Jew. And so what is the svaras behind the two positions? The Gemara goes through them. Rav Yochanan Omer Ein Lo B'Chol L'Nachla D'Havelei Reishis. Oh no. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he's had children before. The Torah says that in terms of the firstborn receiving the double portion, the Torah makes a contingent on the fact that this is Reishis. Oh no. It's his first issue. This is not his first issue. He's had children previously. And Reish Lakish says, well, look, it's sure he had children before, but now he converted. He's a born again. And I know others have taken that term and borrowed it, but it's our term. He's a born again. Once you convert, that's it. You are a new entity. Gershon is Gaya Kakat Nahanola Dami. And so therefore Reish Lakish takes that principle and brings it really to its conclusion. By the way, Rav Yochanan agrees with that principle, meaning that is a truism that exists throughout all of Shas. But what Reish Lakish is doing is he's taking that principle and he's actually making it into even a stronger reality. I mean, despite the fact that this man had children previously, and you could say, okay, you're born again, but you can't refute the fact that you had children. Reish Lakish says it's true. I'm not refuting it. But in other words, vis-a-vis halacha basically hits the reset button. And now that means that as far as the next child that he has is going to be his first child. Wait one second. Let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara is going to connect a lot of dots. So let's stay in the Gemara. Let's get all those dots connected, and then I'll pause. Azdu l'tamayu. So the Gemara says, now this machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish actually will be connected with a very similar machlokes. And that is the following. Deidmar hayu lo banim beYosef v'kolcham v'nizgayim. So let's say you had a person who had children while he was a non-Jew, and he converts. And did he fulfill the mitzvah peruvu? Another very simple, basic question. Did he fulfill the mitzvah peruvu? So Rav Yochanan markei imperia v'ruvia. So Rav Yochanan says, absolutely. Fulfill the mitzvah. He had children. Reish Lakish, Reish Shimon Lakish, Amar Lokiyim. And Reish Lakish says, no, it was not Mekayim the mitzvah peruvu. Rav Yochanan Amar Kiyim Lo Tov Bara L'Sheves Yitzara. So Rav Yochanan says he fulfilled the mitzvah because what is the mitzvah of peruvu? Populating the earth. And he populated the earth. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is used as the almost like a supplementary pasuk to frame the mitzvah. It says that the whole purpose of creation is L'Sheves Yitzara. It's for populating the earth. And he did so. He had children. And Reish Shimon Lakish Amar Lokim Peruvir V'Gershon is Gar Kakan Shanola Dami. And Reish Lakish says, yeah, but he converted. And you know what conversion does? It hits the reset button. So basically, as now a convert, so he's born. In other words, the life that he had before, the wonderful life that he had before. But now, as far as halacha is concerned, right, it's reset. It's new. And so now, well, right, Mazel Tov, you just came into the world again. And so now you got to start again and you got to have children again. and the, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of period of Rivia. So the Gemara basically now takes these two machloksim and they are really connected. You think about it, the svaras behind the two machloksim are exactly the same. Reish Lakish takes this idea of Gershon is Gaya Kakan Shinola Dami and he brings it to its logical conclusion. You are a born again, you're a brand new entity. So vis-a-vis the halacha of firstborn, so the firstborn that you have now, even though you've had children previously, this mamish is your firstborn. And as far as the mitzvah of Peruvu is concerned, Reish Lakish will tell you, you got to have children. Because the children that you had previously are not don't count vis-a-vis the mitzvah peruvu. And Rav Yochanan, in both of those circumstances, says, no, you can't ignore the children that he had previously. So as far as firstborn, this after conversion, it's not his firstborn because he had children previously. And as far as the mitzvah peruvu, so Rav Yochanan will tell you, he had children previously. So therefore, he has fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu. Really interesting discussion over here. First let me finish the Gemara. And by the way, we need both of these positions to be stated clearly. Because if I only had was the first machlokes ba'akam rishon min lakish mishum de be'yoso v'kocham lav ne nachla nenu. So in the first machlokes vis-a-vis nachla, so I could have argued on behalf of Reish Lakish, well, yeah. In other words, the first one that he has post-conversion is going to be his Bechol and Achala because the previous children are not going to be receiving any Nachala from him now that he converted. So in other words, because as far as Nachala is concerned, we hit the reset button, so this first one that comes out is going to be Bechol and Achala. Ava Beha, wait just 1 second. Ava Beha, Ema Modil El Rav Yochanan. But over here, as far as Peruvu is concerned, maybe he would agree to Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish would admit that, yes, he had children previously, and therefore he has, in fact, fulfilled his mitzvah Peruvu. Delotar Barala Sheves Yetzara. Because, again, mitzvah Peruvu is to populate the earth. Did he populate the earth? Yes, he did. So I can make an argument that Reish Lakish may Anachala would hold it's going to be his firstborn, but in Peruvu, maybe he agrees with Rav Yochanan. And conversely, Vahav Elay Sheves, and he populated. And conversely, V'iyid Mar Baha Baha Kamar Rav Yochanan. So I can make the argument that in the second Machlokas by Puravu, Rav Yochanan would say, yes, he fulfilled the mitzvah Puravu, because he populated the earth. Ava Bahim Amod Elay Rishim Amlakish. But as far as Nachla is concerned, so he may agree with the Svara of Reish Lakish, which is that, look, this is Nachla. And now, as he converted, so who's the Nachla going to go to? The children post-conversion. And so therefore, if it's only going to be to the children post-conversion, so the firstborn of those children should be a Bechol and Achla. And maybe Rav Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish, so therefore I need both Machloksim.
Okay. If a guy owes money to a Jew and converts, what happened to the debt?
Same thing
like here. I'm a born Jew, so I don't owe you anything.
I know. It sounds It sounds a little too cute. Meaning, doesn't sound right. I'm guessing. I don't know. As long as we're here, just I'll mention it. It's a super interesting machlokas. So Rav Yochanan says that if you convert, you still fulfill the mitzvah of Peruvu. That's the shita of Rav Yochanan, right? The assumption is that we hold the halachas like Rav Yochanan. In order to subscribe to Rav Yochanan that he has in fact fulfilled the mitzvah Peruvu. Do we need his children also to convert?
No. But there's two separate mitzvahs by Peruvu. Yid have a mitzvah Peruvu, Goyim have only Lesheves Yetzuro. The same thing with woman.
I mean, the Gemara over here says the words Peruvu.
Peruvu is called Loi Toi Beruvu.
I mean, the Gemara over here is pretty clear.
I think your mom says you have to convert.
So the Rambam says, right? So the Rambam's of the opinion that in order for our gear to have fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, so his children have to convert with him. Really, really interesting sheet of the Rambam.
It's not a question.
Right? Whatever. It needs really more thought because the Gemara Kepshuta, if I just read the Gemara, which I did, and the Gemara Kepshuta seems to indicate that the reason why he fulfilled the mitzvah is because of populating the world. And he has populated the world. He's had children. He's populated the world. They necessarily have to be Jewish in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu. But anyway, that is the Rambam Shita. Okay.
The peruvu is that even if he has children from a goyim, with the children of goyim, he was makarim the mitzvah.
I don't remember.
But what does he say? What does that mean?
In other words, once he converts, his Yerusha is not going to go to his Goy.
Why he was a Goy, he was not B'nei Nachla.
I mean, there's no idea of Pishnaim as it relates to Goyim. Pishnaim is only a halacha. It's only a halacha as far as Yerusha is concerned by when a Jew is bequeathing to his children.
So when the kids convert, then he's entitled to it?
They're gonna no. In other words, no halachic no, no. But in other words, two different issues. One is the nachla issue, inheritance issue, and the other one is peruvu. The Rambam says that in order to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, so the guy has to for the ger who already had children. So the Rambam says that he has to convert and his children have to convert. Okay. Anyway, Tanan, we are continuing in the Gemara. We are about a third of the way down. Misha hayulo banim v'nasa isha shekvar yalada. So over here in this Brisa, or I should say better, I'm sorry, it's the Mishnah. So when the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, so we have three different scenarios. Scenario number one, he already had children. And he did not have children, and he married a woman who already had children. Okay, or Oda Shivcha Vishinishakra, or she was a Shivcha who already had children, and she was freed. Number three, Oda Ovedes Kocham Vishinishakra. She already had children as a non-Jew, but she converted. Umi Shabbat Yisrael Yalada. So Vlada Bechol Anachla Vena Bechol Kohen. So now, the child that she has is going to be a Bechol HaNachla, but not a Bechol HaKohen. Because this is his first child, and so therefore, Mazel Tov, this is your firstborn son, but because she had children previously, so therefore there's no Petarechem and there's no Pejana Ben. No, wait, one second. This is the Mishnah. We're learning right now the Mishnah. So the Mishnah basically is giving us multiple scenarios in which she already had children. Now, of those scenarios, so the Mishnah entertains two additional scenarios than the basic one. The most basic one is, she was married, she was a Jew, she was married previously, she had children. But then, in the Mishnah, we're discussing a scenario in which she was a Shivcha who had children previously, or she was a Gioris who had children previously. Like, what are we gaining by those next two cases? It's still basically the same idea. So the Gemara now wonders, Yalda Miman. Well, who did she have the child from previously? Elam Yisrael, Shelo Hayulo Banim. So if we're talking about from Yisrael, who never had children before, so my area Gioris v'Shivcha filo by Yisrael Nami. So I understand. So why is this specific to a Shivcha and Gioris? What are we gaining by introducing the variable that she was either a freed slave or she was a convert? In other words, the halacha would still be the same if she was a Jewish woman who had children previously. Elalav miger, sha'ilo banim v'nizgayer. So the Gemara says we're talking about where that was a ger who had children previously, meaning the Gemara now is assuming that within the variable of she had children previously, the Gemara now is assuming, and he did as well. Now, it's an assumption, but the Gemara says, but what else is the Mishnah adding? So therefore, we're talking about a case where he had children as well. V'ketani b'chol anachla. And still, the next one that comes out is the first one coming out, vis-a-vis the halacha b'chol anachla. So the Gemara is now presenting this as a possible pshat in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, okay, it's possible, but no. Lo. La'olam Yisrael. No, we're talking about where it was a Jew. Shelo ayulo banim ve'eino b'chol akon itzrichlei. And the Gemara says now, if that's true, so then what are we gaining over here? I'll tell you what we're gaining over here. So you remember in yesterday's daf, we learned the shita of Rav Yossi Aglili. Rav Yossi Aglili is of the position that a woman who had children previously while she was a Giyaris, while she was not Jewish, she had children previously, but then she converted. So even though her womb was breached previously, legabe the halacha peter rechem, this is her first one. That's the sheet of Rav Yosef Glili. And so what the Mishnah is teaching us is not accepted. We don't accept that sheetah, but rather the accepted position is that if she is given birth previously, even as a non-Jew, her her womb has been breached. She has had peter rechem, and therefore the next one that comes out is not going to be is not going to require pidyon ben. Good. That's what the Mishnah is there teaching us. Tashma. The Gemara goes over another brisa. So if he had children previously while a non-Jew, and he converts, and he has a first child, not meaning not first child, but first child as a Jew, so that is considered a bechol anachla. Sounds pretty clear. That the child that comes out after conversion is in fact going to be considered his firstborn. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm not disputing the Braisa, but what I will do is I will limit the Braisa. The Braisa is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yosi Aglili. And what the Gemara does is an interesting jump. And that is as follows. What do we know about Rav Yosi Aglili? Well, as we just went over, Rav Yosi Aglili says that if a woman had children while she was not Jewish, and then she converts, so the next one that she has vis-a-vis halacha is the first one she's having. That is clearly Rav Yosi Aglili's position. That position can also not just be limited to her, but also be true by him as well. Meaning that even if he had children previously as a non-Jew, and then he converts, the first child that he has is going to be his first child. So Rav Yosi Aglili says that when a person converts, be it male or female, that is a hard hit of the reset button. Regarding the woman, the first child now is Petarechem. Regarding the man, that's Reishis Ono. And so that is the opinion of Rav Yosi Aglili. So I will tell you that, yes, you quoted a Braisa, but I will also tell you that the Braisa you just quoted is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yosi Aglili, and we don't paskin like Rav Yosi Aglili. So the Gemara says, so I'm not moved by that Braisa. I count that takes us to the end of the discussion. So Machlokes b'shem Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish regarding two halachas. One, both are connected to a convert. One, if a man converts and he had children previously, and now he has a child first time as a Jew, so is that a b'chol anachla? So Reish Lakish says yes, Rav Yochanan says no. Two, the halacha of conversion regarding the mitzvah peruvu. A man converts having had children previously, and after conversion now, does he have to have more children in order to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu? So Reish Lakish says yes, and Rav Yochanan says no. Okay, fine. And then the Gemara brought in Mishnayos and Braisos trying to support and defend either of the positions. Okay. And the Gemara ends off. Now Halacha goes like Rav Yochanan on both issues. Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Levir Shialda Bina Pater Me Heisalayim. A halacha that should have some familiarity. We discussed this at the very beginning of this Masechta. We also discussed this at the tail end of Masechta Chulin. And that is as follows. The mother is a bas Leviyah, right? Her parents are Leviyim. Her father's a Levi. And now she marries Yisrael. Fine. So that means that the child that they're going to have is Yisrael. Obviously, when it comes to Shevet, so it follows the father. The Yichus follows the father. Okay, so fine. So now this firstborn child that she has is going to be Yisrael. Is there going to be a Pidyon HaBen requirement? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Adar Ba'ava that a Leviyah, even though she's married to, now we're going to leave that end of the sentence open-ended, right? We'll right now just leave it as a blank. If she's married to someone and she has a child, the child is not required. There's no requirement to pidyon haben for that child. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, let's think this out. Di'i'abar miman. Now, who was the father? Now, ilem di'abar mikohen umelevi, ma'ir yalevi afilu Yisrael esnami. Now, if the husband was either a Kohen or a Levi, so then of course there's an exemption because the child is now going to be either a Kohen or a Levi, and a Kohen or a Levi does not require Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is only for Yisrael. So there's nothing to talk about over there. Ela di Avram Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, so the father's Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't make any sense. L'mishpechosam l'vesav asam ksiv. We know that when it comes to the father, so the in terms of Yichus, so it follows the father. So if a Leviyah marries Yisrael, so what is that son going to be? Yisrael. That son's going to be Yisrael. And so therefore, there should be a requirement to pidyon haben, right? Now, I'm gonna right now foreshadow a little bit ahead. Not necessarily. But right now, let's just stay with the Gemara's argument. So of course the child is going to be requiring pidyon haben. So the Gemara now is going to suggest the following. Amar Rav Papa de'i aber me'ove kochavim. So the Gemara says, well, the father's a guy. Okay? Now, obviously, to state the most obvious, she shouldn't have had that relationship. And she should not have had a child with a non-Jew. However, once that happens, how does the halacha regard the child? So the answer to that is, it's a machlokas. So machlokas, what happens when a non-Jew marries, or just marriage is not the right word. What happens when a non-Jew fathers a child with a Jewish woman? What is the status of that child? So it's a machlokas, it takes us back to Masechet Yevamos. So the two positions are, remember, either the child is just simply a Jew with no father, no halachic father. Or what's the other option? Child's a mamzer. There is an opinion out there that says that a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman who have a child, the child is a mamzer.
Sakarius,
yeah.
What?
If she shouldn't have had relations with this man, it's a Sakarius
penalty? No, it's not one of the Arias in the Torah. Right, it's not one of the Arias. It's not a Karis penalty. Okay, but anyway, that is an opinion. So the Gemara says, so over here, as we are discussing our scenario of Pidgin HaBen, right, and the father's a non-Jew and the mother's a Jew, and so now we're saying that for vis-a-vis the child that results, the firstborn child that results, is there a Pidgin HaBen? So the Gemara says, despite the fact that I just reminded us about the machlokas in Yevamos, it's not going to really affect our discussion over here. Now, if the child is not a mamzer, meaning if we subscribe to that position, so then it's obvious that, of course, the child is going to be pater from Pidgin HaBen. Because consider, mom, Levia. Dad, halachically, zero. And the child is just basically now he's a nondescript, meaning he's not a Yisroel. What is he? He's a Ben. That's perfect. Perfect. Ben said it perfectly. He's a Ben Levia, and so therefore he's going to be Pater from Pidgin HaBen. So the Gemara says, and even if I subscribe to the viewpoint that the child is a mamzer, but you know what? He's not just any mamzer. He's a Levi mamzer. I know. I know that sounds funny. I'm laughing myself. But the point being, however, is that there's still some element of Levi to him, and therefore there would be a patur from Pidgin HaBen. So right now we are on what's on the table in front of us is this idea that if the mother's a Leviya, a Bas Levi, and the father is a guy, so for sure the child is patur from Pidgin HaBen. But right now the Gemara is entertaining the idea that if she's a Leviya and she married a Yisrael, then of course the child is going to be chayv in Pidgin HaBen. And now the Gemara is going to make the turn. Marbury de Rav Yosef Amri Mishmei de Rav Olam di Avram Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, I disagree. Even if the mother is a Levi, marrying a Yisrael, kosher marriage, kosher child, I still say under those circumstances the child is patur from Pidgin HaBen. V'shani asam da amakra peterechem bepeterechem telerechmana. And why? Meaning, isn't the child a Yisrael? The answer to that, of course, is yes, the child is a Yisrael. On the other hand, Pidgin HaBen is all going to be contingent on the mother and Peter Rechem. And since her Rechem is a Levi Rechem, so that means that which emerges, even though from a halachic standpoint is not a Levi, but still there's going to be a Petur of Pidgin HaBen. And now the Gemara is going to see if this is a supportable position. Tanam, we go back to our Mishnah. Mishnah Yilobanim Venasi Isha Shalo Yalada. A man marries a woman who was not given birth historically. Nizgaira Mu'ubaris, Nishtachra Mu'ubaris, the Yalada. Or let's say, converted while pregnant, freed while pregnant, and she has given birth. He, the Kohenis. He, the Levia. He, the Isha Shekvar Yalada. Or let's say there was a little bit of a mix-up in which she was together with a Kohenis, she was together with a Levia, or she was together with someone who was already given birth. V'chein, mi shelo shasa achrei bala gemel chadasha v'nasa v'yalda v'yin yaduim ben tesla rishonim zayin la'achron. So, or, you have a woman who did not wait the requisite 3 months between her first husband and her second husband. She only waited 2 months having a baby 7 months later. And so now, unclear who the father is. In all of these cases, b'chol ha'koin v'nei b'chol ha'nachla. So in all these cases, it's a b'chol ha'koin v'nei b'chol ha'nachla. Now, mechlal, de kahuna v'levia peturin. So now what seems to be very clear from this mission that we just learned is that If the mother was either a Kohenis or a Leviah, the child that emerges is going to be exempt. And again, we're going to go through the same exercise. We know mom, who's dad? So the Avram Miman. Elam, the Avram Kohen Velevi, Achimai, Yer Kohenis Velevi, Afil Abasi Solanami. If dad was either a Kohen or a Levi, then there's nothing to talk about. Of course there's an exemption from Pidgin Aben. Eladi'i Avrami Ove Kochavim. So the father is a guy. Kohenis Petura. So the Gemara says, the father's a guy. What? In other words, so you're telling me now that the guy is having relations with a Bas Kohen. The results of that are, halachically, devastating. So Kohenis Petura V'amara Papa Badiklan Rabba Kohenis and Nizabra Me'ovi Kochavim Ma'u. What happens when a Bas Kohen is impregnated by a guy? So what I understand, is that any different than a Bas Levi who got impregnated by a guy, right? Where we said that she's going to be exempt. The two cases are not comparable. When a Bas Levi is having relations with a guy, not condoned, but she is going to be unaffected halachically. Not, her status does not change. She could still eat meiser even though she had relations with a non-Jew. That's all with a by a Bas Levi. However, and here's the but. But what if a Bas Kohen were to have relations with a guy? This is different, way different. What happens when a Bas Kohen is having relations with a guy is that she now becomes a zona. She now becomes devoid of her Kedusha. Her Kedusha's Kahuna now is gone. And so that means to say now that she is devoid of her Kedusha's Kohen. And now you're telling me that a Bas Kohen who has relations with a guy and her firstborn child is going to be Ptura from Pidgin Aben because of her Kahuna status? She doesn't have any more Kahuna status. So Hanich Lamar Ber Rav Yosef Mishmei Rav Damar Di Avram Yisrael Mukila B'Da Oved B'Di Avram Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay. So if I subscribe to the viewpoint that we just recently entertained, that the Petur of Pidgin Aben is going to be true, even if the Leviah is married to Yisrael, so that's perfect. So the Leviah is married to Yisrael, so you know who the Kohenis is married to? Also to Yisrael. So then I can easily entertain this brisa that we just learned together. Ela Rapapa b'may mukila. But according to Rapapa, who said that the Leviah, who has a child that's going to be exempt from Pidgin Aben, is only when she's married to a guy. So then that works for the Leviah, but doesn't work for the Kohenis. How are we going to learn the Braisa? So b'may mukila la olam diavra mi kohen vihi bas yisrael v'amai kari le kohenis de benat kohen. So the Gemara says, well, what we'll have to do with the Braisa is we're going to have to say that the husband was a kohen, and even though we use the word kohenis, it just simply means that son of a kohen. But in other words, you're right. In Achinami, according to Rapapa, we can't entertain the idea that the father was a guy. Because then, of course, she loses her Kedushas Kahuna. Okay. So again, major discussion, just to recap, last half of Amud, a major discussion in the Gemara, what happens when a Bas Levi marries a Yisrael and they have a child? Is there a Pidgin Aben requirement? So basically, it's a machlokas amongst the Amoraim between Rav Papa and Mar Berei de Rav Yosef in the name of Rava. Let's just call it Rava. Where Rav Papa says that the only time a Bas Levi having a child is going to be exempt from Pidgin Aben is when the father was a guy. So that means that the father put no input in. But according to Rav Papa, if the father is Yisrael, since the child is Yisrael, so there's a requirement to Pidgin Aben. On the other hand, Rav says no. Because when it comes to the mitzvah Pidgin Aben, it's all contingent on Petah Rechem. And since her Rechem is a Levi Rechem, so therefore the child that comes out, even though the father is Yisrael, and even though the child that comes out is also going to be Yisrael, but according to Rava, but there's no chiyuv of Pidgin Aben. And in fact, by the way, that's the halacha. The halacha falls like Rava. Itmar, we are on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Kohen Shemes V'Niach Ben Chalal. The Kohen dies, and he leaves the Ben Chalal. What happened with our Kohen? Our Kohen, unfortunately, married a Grusha. He married a divorcee. So now the marriage is asur, even though the marriage is chal. The kedushin is chal. But now the kohen has died. And does our ben chalal have to do the mitzvah pidgin aben? Consider. Is he a kohen, the son? The answer, of course, is no. No, he's a chalal. Chalal means he's devoid of kedushas kohen. So now you can make a very strong argument that he has to do Pidyon HaBen. On the other hand, if the father was alive, would the father have to do Pidyon HaBen?
No.
He's a Kohen. Right. And so good. So we are now about to see a machlokas. So the Rav Chista's position is the son has to redeem himself. And Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says he does not. The child does not have to redeem himself. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. If let's say dad married a grusha, dad the Kohen. So he married a grusha. They have a child, and the child obviously is a halal. And dad survived the first 30 days after the child was born. So then, of course, the child subsequently does not have to redeem himself.
He's redeemed already.
And he gets a check. Because what happens is that after 30 days, the father now has an obligation to give the pidyon HaBen. Who is he giving the pidyon HaBen to?
Himself.
He's giving it to himself. And so therefore, right, in other words, then he doesn't actually have to take the money and hand it to himself. But in other words, halacha basically views it as if he's already given it to himself. And so when the father dies, so what's going to happen to the Yerusha? It all goes down to the son. So there is no obligation to redeem him. So ki pligi hechad de meisa av besoch shloshim yom. What happens if the father died within 30 days? Rav Chista amar haben chayv levdosa satsma da halo zacha aviv lepijono. So according to Rav Chista, the son has to redeem because the father was not yet zocha. Meaning the father's not going to be zocha until 30 days. That 30-day requirement, that 30-day minimum requirement, we're going to be discussing a little bit later in our perek, but right now, the Gemara is suggesting. And Rav Abba, Rav Huna, Amreina ben Chayv Levdosa, Tzatzmo, Damar Le'asinim, Mikol Chavar Dolam, Sitzli Shtu, Dinam Ba'adei. And as far as the other position is concerned, look, you're right. My father didn't redeem me yet because he died before I was 30 days old. That part's true. But imagine if he were alive right now. Would you be able to extract the money from him? And the answer, of course, is no. So you're now demanding money from me when meanwhile I'm coming from somebody who you couldn't contend with from a legal standpoint. So therefore, I have that koach, and therefore, you can't come and take the money from me. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow, we'll finish up this particular discussion. Obviously, we'll pick it up from there.